From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. If you live in Boise, you may have seen more dandelions and clover in your neighborhood park over the last 3 years, and that's actually by design. Boise Parks and Recreation is wrapping up a pilot program to reduce pesticide use in the city's parks, and less pesticides means more protection for things like groundwater, the birds, the bees. And it also helps increase plant biodiversity, protects human health, the list goes on. Joining us now is Daniel Roop, Sustainability Specialist with the Boise Parks and Recreation Department. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Samantha. Thank you for having me.
This is an awesome idea, and it was a three-year pilot program. The idea was to reduce pesticides. It started in 2020. Why did the city want to start cutting back on pesticides?
Yeah, you know, the answer I give to that question most often is that the news around glyphosate, so glyphosate many people recognize as the active ingredient in Roundup, was most of the impetus for starting this program. But more so than that, we felt that it was just time to make some changes. Many of our actions are steeped in a lot of history surrounding, you know, what the parks have traditionally looked like. And we really saw this as an opportunity to work with the community to determine what people viewed as a healthy park in 2022, not necessarily what people viewed as a healthy park in years past, which we had been modeling a lot. So that that became the goal very quickly.
Well, and you started in 9 parks, but it's really grown from there, right? Over the 3 years?
Yeah, absolutely. So we started with our original group of pilot sites. And as we identified things that worked well or that we thought more people should see the effects of, we then rolled those out to more and more parks to the extent to which at this point, it's easier for us to list the parks that do not have changes rather than the ones that do. So that's what you will currently find on our website. Most of our parks have some changes that are due to this program at this point.
Gotcha. And you have so many parks. I was looking around on the. I can't believe how many. How many parks do you have now?
You know, it's the number is ever growing, but and obviously the number of sites which we maintain is much larger than the number of actual park sites.
Right.
But I think it's in the ballpark of like 150 or something like that.
Wow. Well, and I'm just guessing, but I'm guessing you approach each park a little differently depending on, you know, where it is and its characteristics and.
We absolutely do. Yeah. And this is something I talk about a lot. But, you know, each park really, really needs its own unique approach. And we recognize that with this program. And we have been treating many parks the same sort of during this trial period. But, you know, we're going to take that into account when we move into the end of this pilot program and writing policy for how we're going to continue in the future.
We're speaking with Daniel Roop, Sustainability Specialist with the Boise Parks and Recreation Department, about the city's 3-year pilot project to cut back on using pesticides in Boise Parks. So can we talk a little bit about some of the effects that people may have seen as you were using less chemicals in the parks? Let's start with taller grass. You're not mowing the grass as short as you used to in a lot of parks. Why?
Yeah, so this is a change that we have trialed in a lot of different places. And mowing the grass higher has a lot of different effects. It can create just a healthier stand of turf that is more capable of out-competing other species. So things like broadleaf and other types of grass that you may not want in there. It also makes it more drought resistant. The taller the grass, typically the longer the root systems of that grass that can use less water over time. You know, we aren't extending this everywhere. Many of our sites, we have dialed that back to mow between the of our typical 2.5 to 3 inches. Because we just found that, that wasn't always tolerated that well. But where we can, we still like to increase the height of the turf. Another thing that people will likely see that we get comments on a lot is the taller grass and plants around the base of trees. These are areas where we would traditionally have applied a broad spectrum herbicide like glyphosate or a glyphosate-based herbicide at the base of these trees to keep vegetation down. But we have discontinued that as part of these reductions and allowed that grass to grow up around the base of trees. So many people see that and notice that.
And let's talk about weeds. Less pesticides means you might see some more weeds, including dandelions. Can we talk about dandelions and how they're not really the devil incarnate? That
Sure,
they're
yeah,
actually good for the ecosystem. Talk about dandelions.
I love to talk about dandelions. What I always like to say is the dandelions are one of the few things that we commonly call weeds that are native to this part of the world. Think about that the next time you're, thinking about how you could do with less dandelions, but at the same time you're planting native plants in other parts of your landscape, perhaps. But yeah, oftentimes the weeds, quote unquote weeds that people see that get their attention are these ones that really stand out to them. Dandelions get a bad rap because they're so evident when you look out over turf. But like you were talking about at the beginning of the segment, they really do add to the biodiversity of these areas. And from what we've heard from the community, that's something that people would really like to see is increased biodiversity. Now we don't want to have dandelions in all of our grasses. Obviously we talked about how every site is different, and obviously we're treating our sports fields different than we're treating our areas around outside of our pools, different than we're treating our neighborhood parks, those types of things. But what we really want to do is figure out through this program how to use, I view pesticides as a landscape tool, and how we can use these tools as judiciously as possible. So eliminating those uses where they're not really necessary is kind of what we're looking at.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, you've got numbers and things. You're trying to cut out possibly specific amounts of pesticides with programs like this. So you've got an idea of the kind of change you can make.
Yeah, so we're in our third year of this, and we do put out pesticide use reports every year, or at least we have for the past 3 years. Collect. I think that we will be able to cut back to about cut down 40% or so of our pesticide applications. Now,
Wow.
that is savings, that is monetary savings and the pesticides that we won't be purchasing, but it's also a lot of labor savings that can go towards other maintenance activities in the parks to increase the health of the plant material.
That is awesome. You mentioned looking at parks now versus perhaps in the past. I know public perception has been a big part of this project. I know you want to find out what the public thinks and how people who use the parks are reacting, and the idea of a healthy park versus an unkempt park. So this is, I think, a big part of what you're doing as well.
Yes, absolutely. We did a series of public meetings when we rolled this program out. We've encouraged feedback throughout the process, and it's now more important than ever with us moving towards the end of this pilot program and into the winter season, where we will be rewriting some of our policy surrounding pesticide use. We really need that feedback from people because, like I said, if we as a community want these perfect, green grass areas with not a dandelion in sight, then we're happy to provide that. But from the feedback that we've gotten so far, we can see that that's not what everybody wants. I can encourage everybody, please go to our websites. You can search for City of Boise pesticide reduction. It'll take you right to our website. And we have specific instructions on there and how to leave feedback. But yeah, we want to hear from everybody. And that's part of the reason why we've rolled out these changes so broadly across Boise as well. We didn't want just the people who live next to those nine original pilot sites to be familiar with what types of changes were taking place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to put a link on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org, to where folks can find out more about the program. And I mean, you're even asking folks for pictures. Send in pictures that you're taking in the park and tell us what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have a specific park in mind with your comment, let us know that as well, because that will just help us identify these places that maybe need to be treated differently.
Absolutely. We've been speaking with Daniel Roop, sustainability specialist with Boise Parks and Recreation Department, about the city's 3-year project to cut back on using pesticides in Boise Parks. Thank you so much for telling us what's going on and how people can get involved and talk about their favorite parks.
Absolutely, Samantha. Thank you so much for helping us build awareness around this program.
No problem. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat, and you're listening to Idaho Matters.